In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan FM. Jay Binkley, Rob Brinton, producing operation. Chiefs game day. Chiefs pregame at 6 o'clock. Of course, the game is 7 o'clock here. Mitch Holtus, the voice of the Chiefs, the iconic voice of the Chiefs. Dan and Hughes, color analyst, who will join us at 4 o'clock. And, of course, Josh Klingler on the sidelines. From our text line, Jay Southland Toastover's text line, 913-586-7965. Don't forget the number. It's also the phone line, but that is the new text line number, 4965, The Fan. RVs are parked outside the gates last night when I left the Royals game from the 913-816. Gates open at 3 p.m. There are videos of people there at 7 a.m. waiting. You know what? You be you. And you know what? You have a limited amount of games during the regular season. If you got some preseason games, might as well enjoy. You buy the tickets anyway. You still got to pay full price for them. Go if this would you, because a lot of people make this choice. 602 says preseason is tailgating practice for regular season. If this is what you do, go do it. I mean, I don't know. We're going to talk at 4:30. You guys can call in 913-586-7965 and. What's your reasoning for going to the stadium? What do you see tonight? Like, I'll be watching the game, of course, because you want to see, because Rob and I, of course, talk about it tomorrow and who he thinks is going to make the roster and who's not. Matt McMullen from the Kansas City Chiefs will be in studio tomorrow for an hour between 3 and 4 as we break down the season. But the bottom line is, what's your reasoning? And we'll find out for sure. But if you're paying the price, and this is typically often the game, people's season tickets, they'll offer you up to them. This is the one that they usually say, hey, do you want these tickets last preseason? Give me one. You're not going to see Mahomes. You're not going to see Kelsey. You're not going to see Caleb Williams, but maybe you just want to see Kansas City Chiefs. It's a great opportunity. I always said going to St. Joe, taking time and going up to St. Joe to training camp, you're going to see a ton too. You're going to be real close to the action. Going to training camp is a great thing for fans to do. And I don't recommend the weekends either when it's absolutely packed. I'm talking like on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, and they have practice in the morning. Andy Reid has practice in the morning. You can still get to work at a reasonable time. You don't have to take the whole day off. You can go. But, Rob, evidently people have been there since 7 a.m. this morning. I am not shocked at all. People love going to games with this team. Absolutely love it with this team. But this is what people do. Either you have a lake house, maybe you got enough money, you do it all. You have a lake house, you play golf. But a lot of times, this is people's extra money. This is what they do. They are Kansas City Chiefs fans. This is where they spend their cash. This is what they love. This is what the fall is. Maybe they don't go to all the college games, or maybe they do. I don't know. But maybe the Chiefs is just their thing, and they're going to have fun with it. And I'm 100% for that. If that's what you like to do, and you like, like I said, a limited amount of time, you can go to the games, whether it's preseason or not. So I give you full credit for that because, man, maybe you just love football. And I get that 100% for sure. We'll talk to Dan and Hughes coming up at 4 o'clock. But the team on the other side of the Truman Sports Complex, the Kansas City Royals, we talked to Mark DeRosa earlier from MLB Network about who he thinks is going to win the division. He had said, you know, he still thinks Cleveland's strong. I don't anymore. Cleveland's lost 5 of 6 games. They got a losing record to the Kansas City Royals. They've played the White Sox 10 times. They've only won 5 of them. They're only 500 against the worst team in baseball, the White Sox. I'm not buying into what Cleveland is. I think they got extremely hot. And as I said, what's the final score today? What was the final score today?
6-0 they lose.
6-0 they lose.
2 games back for the Royals now.
So 2 back for the Royals, gained that half game. Obviously, the Minnesota Twins did too. But this is now 5 of 6 losses for Cleveland going forward. I would start pushing the panic button if you're in Cleveland. Seattle pushed the panic button already and getting rid of Scott Servais for manager. Because they saw that heat because they're sitting there at 7.5 games back from the Royals. So really, it's about scoreboard watching and hoping the Red Sox lose every damn game, to be honest with you. They're 3 games under 500 home. It's fun to root against them. But the Royals, starting the 20-game riptide, as Vern calls it. Vern's always good with the naming different series, but 20 games against all playoff teams. You start with Philadelphia, which I think is a great litmus test for the Kansas City Royals. You're going against former MVP. You're going against Trey Turner. You're going against a great baseball team. You're throwing your best at them. You're throwing Walker, Singer, and Lugo, and Walker's been playing crazy lately. And you know, not Cole Reagans, I get it. He's one of your best. But he's pitching in Cleveland on the first day of the doubleheader because the doubleheader against Cleveland on Monday, followed by two more in Cleveland. And then the Royals would travel at that point to Houston on Thursday night. Houston Astros for 4. The Royals have been doing very well against Houston. They swept them earlier this year. But again, that was a different Houston team they were playing earlier this year. Then 3 more against Cleveland back at Kauffman Stadium. Or the Royals have been simply dominating playing at home. Then 3 against the Minnesota Twins. Then boom, they're off to New York. Then I think they can coast for a while, to be honest with you. But even though there's no coasting in Major League Baseball, because we saw what happened earlier when they coasted against the A's. But 3 in Pittsburgh, 3 against Detroit at home, playing Frisco, then Washington. That ain't bad. And then, of course, you have to finish the season with Atlanta. That'll be, you know, a tough series. But you get to this 20-game stretch. What would be satisfactory, do you think, Rob? At this point, if they just went 500, they're 15 games over now. Just going 500, going 10-10 in this, would you be upset with going 10-10? Or would it matter who those 10 wins are against?
10-10 is a win for me in this next 20 games. Like, as much as I would love the Royals to go 15-5 or, you know, 14-6 or some big number, I would like all of those things. Don't get me wrong. The Royals are playing 20 games against playoff teams. Like you said, Vern calls the riptide. They have a sub 500 record this year against teams that have an above 500 record. I think they're like 6 games under 500 against teams that are above 500, which means they've feasted on lesser competition. Based on the length of this stretch and where in the season this stretch comes, if the Royals came out the back end of this 20 games 10-10 and they're still holding a playoff spot, I would be elated because now, as you said, it does soften up. You get some Pirates, you get some Nationals, you get some Tigers back on the schedule. Those are some games you feel like you can get back to some winning ways. I think the nightmare scenario for the Royals is if you go sub 500, and I'm not talking about like 9-11. I'm talking about like if you go 7-13 in this stretch, if you go 6-14, if you kind of get your brains beat in by the Yankees and the Guardians and teams of that ilk, then I think it ends the season. I don't think you're coming out the other side being like, all right, let's catch back up now with some Pirates on the schedule. I think now we all know what happens. This is the defining stretch of the Royals season.
Yeah, and it depends who you won, who you lost against, because it's Cleveland and Minnesota. And when the Royals play Cleveland, Minnesota's going to sit back and enjoy that because they need to win during that time because someone's going to lose between the Royals and Cleveland. But it's interesting how the season's materialized. What, 35 games left? Did I get that right? 36 games left? It's 35 or 36. I can't remember. They played 127, I believe.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
So 35 games left. And, you know, 20 of them are the stretch that Vern calls the riptide. Now, Cleveland, when you think about who they're finishing up against, they've got Texas, then they got Kansas City for four, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City again. Then they're at the Dodgers, which right now have the best record of Major League Baseball. They still got to go out there. After they play Kansas City in Kansas City, they've got to go play the Dodgers for three. Then they play the White Sox for three at Chicago, and you say, oh, they should kill them. Well, as I mentioned, they're 500 against the White Sox this year, 5-5. They do get a crack at the Minnesota Twins at home for four games, so that's big, and then they end up with the Houston Astros at the end of the year. I think it's going to be a dogfight between these teams. I do. Make or break, time of the season, 100%. 100% make or break. I know that yesterday we talked about living and dying every game by the Royals and just being careful not to do that at this point, even though you can put a lot more value on games now compared to at the beginning of the season. But, you know, how do you feel last night? I thought last night you're taking a step in the right direction. You got Lucas Erceg as your closer that you've wanted for the longest time. You get him going out there. He's pitched 10 in the third innings, hadn't given up a run all year, or four hits, no runs. 0.00 ERA, no walks, 14 strikeouts. I don't think there's anything more than what you want from what you're getting by him. I think that's been great offseason for J.J. Piccolo. I mean, what's there to complain about what he's done? He's done everything you want him to do. You can make an argument if we ever had as good of GMs in this town at the same time. Like, J.J. Piccolo's on fire right now. That move for Cole Reagans last year, then what he did now at the trade deadline, plus bringing in Seth Lugo in the offseason. Heck, I think he's the hottest thing going right now in Major League Baseball. I think Brett Veach is the best thing going right now in the National Football League. It's hard to argue either. The Royals, the only small market team to have won a World Series. But I know that Mark DeRosa said they're going to be talking a lot about Vinny Pasquantino coming up here, and they should. I think he's one of the most underrated players in Major League Baseball, and you're finally starting to see, you know, it's starting to materialize with this young core. Wish Massey would be healthier more. I'm concerned about that back because that's something that never goes away. But when you look at RBI in Major League Baseball, the Royals, the first team to have three guys over 70 ribs, first team to have three guys over 80 ribs, and they will be the first team to have 90 ribs, three guys, because two of them already got there. But Vinny, the way he's playing, no better hitter, no more RBI in the baseball than Vinny since the All-Star break. He's only behind Aaron Judge and Jose Ramirez of Cleveland as he sits number three in baseball. Bobby Witt, by the way, sixth in baseball with 92 as he continues what he's doing. But it seems like Vinny's playing like you thought Vinny would. And then there was questions last year because he was hurt. How was he going to come back this year? But did many people expect Vinny just to be like this? I mean, he's got 28 doubles this year. I mean, he did have the lead for this team, but Bobby Witt Jr. just gone past that with 38 doubles this year. But, you know, you look at this lineup, you think, well, Aaron Judge has Juan Soto in that lineup. Well, this Royals team is going to be the only team in Major League Baseball that have three guys with more than 90 ribs. Sal Perez sitting there with 85. Currently, they're the only team with three guys over 80 RBI. But Vinny Pasquantino, to me, I liked his attitude from the beginning. You saw how much, you know, this team meant to him and how much winning meant to him at the early. I remember what he did. It was like audio from back in like April. He was talking about, no, we're a good team. This is a good team. This is a good baseball team. You know, and he's very dead serious about it. I haven't seen that side of Vinny from, but he came out there, and I think they take losses to heart.
In life, some days are good,
and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.